Hello and welcome to Made in Science, the official podcast of the University of Stuttgart. Today, we are not only going on air, but also into the air, so to speak. We want to talk about aerospace research, and in particular, about aerospace applications. Professor Zamira Dow is with us today, and her special interest is in the certification and integration of AI systems in aerospace applications. Wishing you a very good day and welcome to our podcast.
So thank you very much for having me in this so nice day, winter day again.
You're very welcome. I would like to talk with you about your application-driven research, the hype about AI, and how your grandmother was an inspiration for you and your studies. Now, if we look at your research areas, you did your PhD in electronic engineering and computer science, but now you're working in the field of aircraft systems. I wonder, where's the link between these two?
Yeah, so I think since I was younger, I wanted to be an astronaut. And there is where actually my motivation always came about. However, you know, I didn't know how to be an astronaut because I come from Colombia, so it's not that easy. And that is the reason why I say, okay, if I want to be there, I want to be engineer to help at least aerospace go forward. And that is what I came about with electrical engineering. And then after that, I moved to Germany where I did my PhD more in computer science. And here the idea was not aviation, but medical devices. And therefore, both of them are kind of connected because both of them are safety critical systems. So in case that you make a failure in the software, someone will die. And so that is kind of how I went to my PhD. And then after that, I moved to the US to do my postdoc, where I was working more in formal verification for safety critical systems. And there where I saw the opportunity that everything, all the models and methods that I actually work on could be also applied to aviation. So I kind of close the circle, going back to the motivation that I always and the passion that I always had from the beginning. So
it was more step by step, but all related. Thank you for having mentioned the various steps in your career and also how to approach a particular interest that you have and that develops into a particular research, which I would still have another question about. As far as I understand it, your particular research focus is on the certification of AI-enabled avionic systems. And this seems to be very closely related to model-driven development and to embedded systems. Again, for those of us not in the field, can you elaborate on that a little more for us?
Yeah, so I think right now we have AI, so artificial intelligence is everywhere. And so there is a lot of people from different domains that wanted to use it in their applications, like aviation. However, as it's not sure how safe they will be. And that is where the certification process comes into the place, where we ensure that everything kind of works how it's supposed to be and there is no failures. And in case there is a failure, we can identify it and land safely. So that is kind of more what I actually focus on. And in order to do that, you actually need to provide different methods to ensure that the system was developed correctly and also the verified that is actually always worked. And that is where, of course, we have this model-based system in engineering that is actually coming together. So the AI is only providing a implementation choice, something that maybe we could do with another software. But with the model-based system engineering, kind of put it in the context so that we ensure that everything will be safe. The part of the embedded part is more the AI, especially in the aircraft. If you have it in the aircraft, it will not go into the cloud. It will be actually in a device, and that's usually an embedded system that it needs to be there. So that is also the other part of the hardware side that is also connected with the AI.
Artificial intelligence is these days a big topic all over the world. I read in an interview where the researcher said it's more like a big thing right now, but the whole thing will cool off eventually. We will wake up one day and the hype will be gone. Not because AI is gone, but because it will have become normal. What's your take on that opinion?
Yeah, so I kind of agree too, because everyone wants to use AI everywhere. What actually I have seen is you can use AI, but it's not always the right choice to use. And you have to be very careful where to use it and how to use it. However, I think in this moment, we need to, at least in the research side, we need to explore what are the limitations until when we need to go or where, in which areas we need to continue doing the research. So therefore, I think it will be a moment in the future where we already have identified that and say, okay, that application maybe is not in that direction. I think that is more from the research side and the application side. The part that is also I have seen a lot lately in the university is how the students use AI. So, and also how engineers use AI. So therefore, it's not only that it will be on the system, but how AI will help them to develop. So in that part, I think we need to be, at least from the university side, be aware how to prepare our students to be in this new workforce where AI might be a tool, but it's not only a tool that you use without knowing. You really need to understand what can do and also when is it actually good for and how to use it just to, you know, improve your performance.
Talking about performance, you have also worked in industry before coming to academia. Now, that must have been a very conscientious choice, I would think. What do you think, in which of these two areas can your work have a greater impact? You are application-oriented, so that may also work for industry very well. But at the same time, university, also the research that you perform leads to new results in your area all the time. So how did your choice come about to leave industry and go for academia?
Yeah, so when I was working in the industry, I think we saw the possibilities of AI, but we saw that the certification is a bottleneck. And like I said before, certification is just to ensure that the system will always behave safely. However, we don't have the methods to ensure that the system will always safe. And that is what I thought, okay, we need more research in academia to, you know, develop that type of methods. And I think that makes me think, okay, good, if I go to academia, that will actually help me to develop that methods because I know for what they will be used for. And I think that was kind of the most important part for me. I think the other part that for me was an important decision personally, I wanted to choose or have more freedom to choose in which direction do I want to research on. In the industry is more tight with the schedule of the company. So, and another part that I really wanted is to have more impact in the people that I'm working around. And I think my experience in the industry and in the academia give me a lot of tips that I could give someone else so that they maybe can be a good engineer and don't learn by mistakes, but maybe from a good mentorship that I also have received over the time.
A good engineer and a good team person,
yes.
I guess, as well. So you work with an international team and that research team has a particular structure, perhaps. Could you elaborate on that?
So I think from the U.S., experience, I learned how to, you know, work in a team in an agile way. And I wanted to apply exactly the same in the academia. Not, it's not always the case that that is how it works like this, but I wanted to have the same. So I think the idea here, what I try to do is we have recurrent meetings where all the team's members are work. We try to create a good environment where they actually are free to fail, because fail is the only way that we learn how to actually improve for the future. They don't have to be afraid to say what actually they think. And so we're trying to kind of, everything is also in English so that everyone can actually work collaboratively. And I think my idea is try to empower them and that they grow by themselves so that they can start to lead kind of a small. So for example, the PhD students, they always try to lead their own areas so that they can learn for the future.
The students, let me also refer to that now. You teach in English, right?
Yes.
Now, I understand that the master program in aerospace engineering is currently not yet a study program that is taught in English. And I'm asking this because I get lots of questions at education fairs abroad by future students interested in the topic. And they wonder if we are moving to put this into English language as well.
Yeah, I think from our faculty, so the aerospace engineering faculty, we already have that into the plan. So a lot of our classes are already in English, but like you said before, we don't have. But we are working right now on in an AI specialization in which actually everything will be in English so that they can choose AI like basics courses together with the aerospace courses so that they know how to actually use AI in the specific fields because aerospace is very big from structures, materials, avionics. So therefore, that is kind of the idea that we're going for.
Mm-hmm. And since we now covered the language, let's also talk about the students and perhaps your time as a student as well. You said as a student, you would have loved to see more results of your theory being implemented. How do you do that with your students to give them a more application orientation in their studies?
Yeah, so I think when I was doing my PhD and my postdoc, I was very frustrated because I didn't see that someone used it. However, when I went to the industry, I saw how the industry used the papers. They read it, apply them, and they don't tell the author. So what it means is you as a researcher doesn't know how things are applied. And I think what I try to do with my students is for sure tell them how actually it works and also connect them with industry partners so that they see, okay, oh yeah, the industry partners will tell them, yeah, that method actually could be applied and this and this, so that they see kind of a little the link of where the methods that they are applying to the future. I think something that I think is important for me is I talk to the students when they want to work with us to understand what are the motivations that they have. They want more applied or they want more theoretical so that we can actually partner them up with the right approach. And here, I think it's always the idea, if they develop methods, they know in the future or maybe which other students will apply that methods for a specific applications.
You have spent time in the United States, both at the West Coast, also at the East Coast, at the University of Maryland, College Park, near DC. The experiences that you had there in the work with the students, for instance, that is something I would like to hear more about. Also about the relation and the ratio, rather, of female to male students in the STEM subjects. In Germany, we are still very much looking for more female students in STEM subjects. I think there is a higher percentage in the United States.
Yes, for sure it is. So I think since I have been in three different countries working my whole life, so I see the difference. Not only on the stance, but maybe on the political side. So depending on every domain. So I think every culture and country is very different. What I see, at least on the STEM part, I saw that in the US, there is much more female, in the working force, in the technical part, also in the leadership, on the technical subjects. And when I was here in, Germany, when I was doing my PhD, I always was alone, the only one. And I think also I see now the students in the university, and I see there is not so many females there. And a lot of the females are there. They are actually not from Germany. So what I can actually also say is I have two small daughters. So I also see that started already on the kindergarten or in the kita. I saw the difference how they behave when they were in the US and after we moved here. So kind of things that they never say before, oh, that is blue. I don't wear that. I never have heard that before when I was in the US from my daughters. But after a couple of months, I started to hear it here. So I actually think that is something that started very, very early on. So that I understand not everyone likes the same stuff, but at least what is important is to teach our girls that they can choose whatever they want, independent of what type of topic it is. So because if we already close their opportunities from so a young age, when they are already older, they will never think about that opportunities at all. So therefore, I think for me, it's important to teach them that so that maybe they can follow my steps.
Following your steps, you've come to the University of Stuttgart 2 years ago. Which expectations did you have when you came here as a professor? And 2 years is not that a long time, but is it moving in the right direction for you?
Yeah, for sure. I think something that I really liked it from Stuttgart was the faculty, because the faculty is the aerospace faculty. It have so many different institutes that they are working in different areas of the aircraft. They work on the engine or on the avionics system and the navigation and so on. So I think for me that I come more from the AI world, I would like to work together with every one of them. Because I think in every one of these areas, there is the possibility to bring a safe AI. And so I think that was kind of one of my, expectation. And I think in the last 2 years, I have seen how we started to collaborate. So I'm very, very happy on that area.
From the work side, that sounds splendid. And now about the relation between your working life and also your life work. Balance. How's that going for you? You mentioned you have two daughters. The family, are there any programs here at the university or in the city of Stuttgart that you and your family are involved in that support your work perhaps as well?
Yeah, I think at the beginning when I came, I actually had the expectations that the kids, my girls will have a kita. That was not the case. And it took us a couple of years to get them in a normal schedule. So, and for that, my husband needed to work less so that, he can support me in my career. So that was kind of a negative expectation. I think now that everything has settled, so then we came up in a good schedule with the kita and the school. And I think the programs that we use a lot is the camps, so summer camps and everything. So that is, we use that a lot, and especially my oldest one likes it a lot because it is a lot about experimentations. So a lot of things that we did at home, they do it now here in the camp. So that is kind of very nice for us.
Looking a little bit ahead, you are a patent holder in the United States. What is your next goal in your research career here in Germany?
Yeah, I think my next goal is about how to we really bring a balance between innovation and safety and security. So I think AI is kind of one of an technology that is coming now, and everyone uses it. But when it's safety critical systems. The domain is more very conservative and don't want to use it at all. So therefore, I think we cannot allow us to say, okay, this is scary, we don't use it. We need to have a path, a very smooth path where you say, okay, we don't know how it works completely. Therefore, let's how to move on that direction. So I think that is where really I think I'm working more on. Safety in this case for AI, but also for cybersecurity. That is also, of course, a topic that is very relevant, I think, for us. The other topic that for sure is for me very important is human AI interaction. So right now, aircraft, of course, I've flown by pilots, and that I don't think will change so close into the future, especially in the commercial side, but humans will be there. The problem is we cannot develop AI separately to the training of the humans. They need to work together because they work together to get us safe to the airport. So therefore, that is the other topic where I think we are working already in that direction. But I think it will be nice to see in the future that we actually see a system, not as a system and human, but a kind of together team, how actually we develop them, both of them.
There is a lot of fascination and inspiration, I guess, from what I hear in your explanations and your answers. That brings me to an interview that I watched on Prof Check here at the University of Stuttgart, where you said that you were always fascinated by how your grandmother repaired things. And that got you kind of going to find out for yourself how you are able to do that. The inspiration of your grandmother, would you share some examples with us, please?
Yeah, so I think my grandmother came, I think, from a very, not so wealthy fair health. So therefore, I think she never went to the school. So I think she learned with us everything for reading, for our, homework. She always helped us, and also my mom. So therefore, I think I saw how she got improved over the time, what she was doing. And I think what I saw is everything, if something got, broken, our audio systems got broken, she always just open it and then try to figure out how it works and how it move the cable. And if the cable move, you can hear it better. So then how can we actually do it so that it always work like that? So I think that is kind of the inspiration that I had, that independent where you come from, you can always achieve whatever you want if you actually want to. And also see that, I think how things work, the box is there, it doesn't know how to work, but you actually open up and try to see kind of a different world inside of that box. And that, of course, fascinates me a lot.
Things can always be adjusted. We learn from that, both in your professional career, but perhaps also beyond that. And the environment we live in is also a very important factor in our lives. The University of Stuttgart has just asked students and faculty what could be improved on life or for life on campus. Is there anything at the Feiingen campus where aerospace is located that you would like to see implemented soon to make student life and faculty life a little better?
Yes, I think what I've seen our campuses is the students working together a lot. And I think discussing and, learning a lot. And I think that is still, I feel, missing in the Feiingen campus. I think more spaces where the students can work together and sit together, drink a coffee, but still, work in their homeworks or whatever assignment do they have. I think that is something that I would really liked that we have for them. And we also propose in the Glow Up initiative couple of ideas so that we can actually give that, because I feel like if the students feel that they are happy and they are here in the campus, they will want to stay here more. And so therefore, I think that is kind of one of the motivations for us, providing, at least in our building, providing more facilities where they can actually stay there and explore more their motivations and passions.
Your passions are in dancing, in climbing, I understand, but also traveling.
Yeah.
When that is the case, now you've been some years in Germany. I don't know if you have any time at all to travel in Baden-Württemberg or in other areas in Germany. But if so, what has been your experience? What do you like in particular?
Yeah, so I think what I really like in Germany is this connections between history and kind of culture and architecture. I think coming from Colombia, I think our buildings, they don't survive long. So they are always, throw away and then build a new one. I think we're a new culture in that sense. And I think in Germany, you actually see the history in the buildings. And I think that is really something I never have seen before. So I really like that. And I think the other part that I really liked a lot is biking. So I really like biking. I bike every day to work. And so in Germany, there is always this bike paths and routes that you can go through the wind countries. And I think so that I really like it a lot. So try to kind of go from one city to the other one with the bike. Now we're waiting that the girls learn to bike better. But yes, I used to do that a lot.
And that's also how you came to us today with your bike. So that is a special, you know, initiative here. At the end of our conversation, we always have a particular section that we call Moment 7. We have collected 7 questions that we would like to ask you. And please answer each of these as shortly as possible. Moment 1. Spätzle or Maultaschen?
Maultaschen.
Moment 2. One thing that you could change about the world is?
Yeah, I think empathy. I want that they, you know, are more considered with the needs from the others.
Moment 3. Do you have a recommendation for a book, a music, a movie, a theater to share with our audience?
So the book that I'm reading right now, The Happy High Achiever.
Moment 4. The best advice that you have ever received was?
Never say no.
Moment 5. Your favorite place at the University of Stuttgart is?
In the back of our building. There is a small forest to walk there.
Moment 6. Please complete the sentence. If I could start all over again, I would do the following differently.
Nothing.
And moment 7. Again, please complete this sentence. Thanks to my studies, I know that...
There is so many things to learn.
Thank you so much for our conversation, Professor Dao. And wishing you and your research team and your students the best results in your research, the application orientation, the AI implementation, the safety improvements. We're all looking forward to that and we need it. Most of all, wishing you personally all the very best.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to our audience, please stay tuned for our next conversations that are always based on what is made in science. My name is Wolfgang Holtkamp. Have a great podcast day. Goodbye and good talking.